Coming up next is the Professor James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroads. Now on shortwave, WWCR, frequency 5.070 at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and also on Reality Radio Network Internet at www.realityradionetwork.com on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
Good evening, March 15th, 2007, the Ides of March. And, of course, the Ides of March referring to the death of Julius Caesar, where they, of course, his court, so to speak, ended his life in a rather brutal way back in, what was it, 43 BC, something in that era. So anyway, and of course the Ides of March made famous in the Shakespeare play Julius Caesar. But Ides typically meant middle of, so they could say the middle of a month. That was actually the original term used in the old Latin and carried forward to, of course, generate the modern languages that we see today. So enough language lesson for the night and on to some science. Just quickly an announcement. I'll be on a radio show this coming weekend that many people will listen to around the country, a WCCO AM, 830 AM. It's out of Minneapolis. One of the wider listen to stations. And after about 10 p.m., they turn up to full power in broadcast. I know I've had people in New York and Florida, in Louisiana, Mexico, Nova Scotia, Canada, and all the way west to the Rockies hear this station. So anyway, here are the details quickly. Saturday morning, March 17th at 1 a.m. Central Time. That would be 2 a.m. Eastern Time. That would be midnight, early Saturday morning in the Rocky Mountains. 830 on your AM radio dial. And if that's not clear, you can get it on the internet. Go to WCCORadio.com and they have streaming on the internet. And that'll be with host Brad Walton, and we will talk about my latest book release, Calculate Primes. And so I will not be concentrating tonight on this show on the book. I will be talking about some other topics. The main topic, science topic I will be talking about tonight is encryption, how it works, and why the codes are being broken. And what does this mean to you? Encryption is the method for sending secure transmissions so that nobody can intercept them. And so anyway, it's rudimentary to everything from military hardware and satellite transmissions to banking to commerce to internet activity and also the human computer chips that are stored in warehouses. This is getting a little closer to home for all of you out there. The human computer chips that they have stored in warehouses all depend on encryption because they run by radio, just like a cell phone, and they can be read at a distance or they can be monitored at a distance, just as with any radio. And so these are the human computer chips that they want to put in. They're already putting them in animals. They've already put them into many of the military. So anyway, these chips use encryption. So if the encryption codes are broken, then anybody could be anybody else and the system would fail. So it has tremendous implications, and that is a result of my publishing this book, Calculate Primes. So many people thought, oh, that's just some esoteric math thing. And it's really not. It has huge, huge implications for the common person out there. So you can understand the secrecy that I had in releasing that book because the people in the industry know very well the implications of that book. And that's why there's been a lot of funny business, so to speak, in preventing me from airing that on, say, certain radio shows or trying just all kinds of other funny business, a lot of it that you don't see out there that I see every day behind the scenes. So anyway, this Saturday morning, WCCORadio.com on the internet or 830 AM on your radio dial. This will be, once again, 1 a.m. Central Daylight Time on Saturday morning with host Brad Walton. And that's also posted on my webpage at the top, jmccsci.com. Just go there and you'll get some more information. And the book is posted, the order link and the cover and the rear cover of the book are posted. The introduction to the book is online on my page there. So just go there and you'll get more information on the book. And as I said, I want to get on to regular topics tonight. So I have a bit of catching up to do because past shows have been used up in concentrating on the book release, and now I got to get back to normal. Okay, so just quickly too, this is the last thing I'll say about the book. For mail order, I did not get the address out for mail order last week. I ran out of time on the show. So anyway, Calculate Primes, the book and DVD lecture, typically retail for $24.95, but I'm reducing that to $19.95 for the first couple weeks here as an introductory offer. So if you're interested in that book, it's called Calculate Primes, and it's somewhat of a math book, but it's written for the general public. So if you're not a math person or you're a little afraid of math, don't worry, this book is an easy read. Plus, it has the DVD lecture, which you can watch. Basically, watch the book as I lecture about the book, and it makes it much more palatable for the average person out there. 3-hour lecture on the book and the implications, and that's the part that is important for most people. Understanding the prime numbers is not your main goal. Understanding what cracking the code of the prime numbers means to you is more important to most people. As I was saying, the encryption codes, what does it really mean to you? How does this affect you? And at any rate, the book with the DVD lecture, $19.95, and send that to JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392, and Minnesota abbreviated is MN. So it's $19.95 for the book and DVD Calculate Primes to JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. And you could just say book and DVD or new book with DVD, whatever, and we'll know what you're, what to send you. On to the next topic. Now, before I started all of the book release shows and concentrating on that, I was talking about global warming used as an excuse for water shortage. I was talking about water control, ownership of water, how it's being transferred to private corporations, just like oil was. You have to ask the question, how is there an oil shortage when we know there is tons and tons of oil all over the world, far more than we could ever burn, and you realize that it's a contrived shortage? There's not an oil shortage, it's a control and distribution problem. So the same people that brought you the ongoing oil shortage and problem, for example, in Venezuela, gasoline is 16 cents a gallon. That's what you should be paying for gasoline. And they have enough that they could produce it for us for that price. But that's why they call Chavez, the president of Venezuela, that's why they call him a terrorist, because he could single-handedly take out the international oil concerns that are keeping your prices up 20 times that. We're paying 20 times what we should be paying for gasoline. Everybody knows it. So we are being strangled, and the war in the Mid East based on oil and the need for these greedy companies to have oil. You must have heard about Halliburton moving to Emirate of Kuwait, I believe that's, or one of those countries, I forget which one, so they would avoid paying taxes. Interesting that corporations can get away with that, that are very tightly knit to this Iraq war, making enormous profits. Then they move their corporation to a foreign country so they don't have to pay corporate taxes. Interesting. So anyway, the water situation is going to get exactly like the oil situation. How on earth, with a planet that's covered three-quarters with water, and we can desalinate ocean water, we can get water from the glaciers that are melting in Greenland, vast amounts of fresh water. We have huge amounts of water that fall out of the sky and literally roll off into the ocean, untapped. How in a planet with this kind of a water system already supplied naturally could there be a water shortage? Well, it's being brought to you by the same people that brought you the oil shortage. There isn't a shortage, and what they're doing, of course, is getting in the middle of distribution. So you will find that private corporations are taking over the distribution of water, and it's happening right down to the local level, your local governments. It's being corroborated at the federal level, etc., etc. Now, here is a very interesting aspect to this, and I'm going to go through some articles that are coming out right now dealing with global warming. And let me, actually, I should start with this just to set the tone for this. The report is from thousands of scientists, and it's called the Panel on Climate Change, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is from governments all over the world, European Union, the United States, etc. And, of course, the first thing they say, the big effect of global warming is there won't be enough water. For millions, hundreds of millions of people won't have enough water. Top scientists will say next month at a meeting in Belgium. And now look at the implications. It's very important. You got a guy like Al Gore running around claiming global warming. But look at the subtlety here, folks. They're talking global warming, and gee, who wouldn't be opposed to, you know, stopping global warming? You got Al Gore at the Oscars, something that's watched by billions of people all over the world. You've got movie stars backing him up saying, gee, we got to really conquer this, and people are feeling like good about, you know, curing global warming and using all the oil and things. But look at the implication. The implication is that you will have less fresh water, which is not true in the strict scientific sense of the word. If there is more heat in the atmosphere, in the oceans, that'll cause more evaporation of ocean water. Hotter air holds more moisture. Any third grader could tell you that. Any chemist, anybody who knows anything about thermodynamics or science will tell you that warmer air and warmer water produces a system with more water in the atmosphere. That means it's going to rain more. We're going to have higher humidity, not less. So how on earth can these thousands of scientists who claim to be scientists, they're really not, they're just pigs at the trough of the international funding mechanism, that's all this is about, global warming, because the global warming scenario for the greenhouse effect and man-made global warming is very unsound. It's very bad science, but I'm not going to get into that. The point I want to make is the first thing they say after global warming is that you won't have enough fresh water. Now, I got an interesting conversation with a woman this past week who bought a Berkey water filter. And the reason they bought it is because they go to the grocery store to buy fresh water. They pay 39 cents a gallon, and as any good housewife would do, she's been calculating their annual cost of water. And of course, they go to the grocery store, and it says that it's filtered, But who knows if behind the wall there, behind the spigot, if the grocery store in fact is changing their filters like they're supposed to, or whatever. But at any rate, they're paying 39 cents a gallon for water. Now, I remember paying that for gasoline not too long ago, and of course now we're paying, eight times that for gasoline, and that's what's going to happen to water, I guarantee you. And the distribution is being put in place right now for that, the control and distribution of water. So this woman told me that their annual cost for water going to the grocery store, not to mention the hassle of bringing the jugs, and she said the jugs break and they have to replace them. So their total annual cost per year is around $300 and some per year for water, for I think it was a family of three, she said. Yeah, family of three. And so they are buying a Berkey water filter because it's going to pay for itself in the first year. And also, they will be confident that the water they're drinking and getting from this will be, in fact, fresh filtered water. They're their own source of fresh water. Now, as the price of water goes up, 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 they will be saving more money. And after that first year of paying for the Berkey water filter, they will then have free clean water. Now, that makes sense in anybody's book. So at any rate, I encourage people, and I don't sell a lot of things on my radio show. I could sell flashlights. I could sell all kinds of stuff, but I don't. There are other shows that do that, and of course they have, that's great. I'm glad they do that because they sell good products, but I don't do that. I sell my books and my videos and stuff, but the one thing that I really do concentrate is the Berkey water filter. And more people are finding this out. The most important thing in your life is a glass of fresh water, and it's going to become harder and harder to get. So anyway, for people who use mail order, and this has been increasing in the number of people ordering these by mail order, it's $315 for the Berkey water filter. And that includes the Berkey water filter. It's two canisters, one on top of the other. There are no hoses or electrical connections. You just pour the water in the top. It goes through the filter. It ends up in the lower container, and you pour out fresh, clean water. It'll make between 10 and 20 gallons per day. And with the filter, with the canister, you get two black Berkey filters. Filters out viruses and bacteria, etc., and leaves the minerals, which is very important because you need mineralized water for your bones and good health. And then there's an extra set of filters included. Plus you get the free Kato WRX 911 shortwave radio that you can listen to this show on and many other shortwave shows. And it also includes free shipping to the 50 states. So anyway, enough said about that, but I just thought that was interesting that a woman told me about this, buying the Berkey because it's actually paying for itself in the first year, and after that they'll have essentially free water as the price of water goes up. But 39 cents a gallon for water. Wow. And that's gonna go up. I just cannot stress that enough. But this idea that global warming is going to cause a water shortage, that is something I just want to pound on because most people out there don't understand what they're doing with this global warming message. The implication is you are going to see a water shortage, and the big corporations are licking their chops because water is the one thing you need more than gasoline. Okay, on to the next topic. I just wanted to stress my teaching background. And this is something that many people have seen my books. I have taught for a period of about 10 years at the university level. The other part of my career I've spent in telecommunications, and about a decade of that Actually, more was spent actually designing telecommunications computers. I was a principal system engineer in a team of engineers similar to myself, and we designed communications computers for the largest computer networks in the world. And the company I worked for marketed these, so it's a topic that I'm very familiar with. I used my physics background. I have a master's degree in physics. So when that was the other half of my career, or say two-thirds. And then, of course, I do my science work, and I've always supported myself when I do my science work, because as soon as you sign up for a government grant or start publishing in the journals, it turns out that you're turning your information over for free. And I don't do that. I've learned that the government then will take your information and twist it and distort it. And if you don't agree with the standard party line in the science world, and I always get a kick out of these scientists who say, the government changed my report. They changed wording and changed the meaning of my report. Well, hey, buddy, you work for them. They're paying your freight. Get a clue. You know, I just am amazed at these government-supported scientists who think that, gee, they're independent. sorry, buddy. You're bought, paid for, and owned. And everything you do in your life is bought, paid for, and owned. So when scientists complain that the government has changed their report, it's like, get a clue, buddy. You are owned. You don't have a thought of your own. You have to do what they tell you to do. You have to get the grants that they put in front of you. And you are owned. Get a clue. But I don't buy into that. Never did, never will. And that's why I'm here with millions of people listening every week to me, because I am independent and I don't buy into that. And I can say what I want to say. And I'm good at analyzing what's going on in the world and behind the scenes. So, sorry for running about that, but my teaching career has been in physics, computer science, astronomy, and mathematics. Most of my teaching career has been concentrated on physics and mathematics, and I've taught every level of undergraduate mathematics that there is. From engineering mathematics and calculus 1, 2, and 3, that type of mathematics, to the more esoteric mathematics like theory of numbers, logic, topology, mathematical analysis. I've taught all of these courses at the college level and university level. So I know what's going on in the world of mathematics. So when I wrote my book, Calculate Primes, it's a book that I know is going to rattle the cages of the mathematical world. It's a 2,500-year-old problem. But on this show, what I wanted to stress is somewhat my background, because I have a very diverse background. I've had my own companies. I've worked in and around the aerospace industry. I've seen venture capital funding go very nicely and create very great things, and I've seen venture capital funding go awry. So believe me, I've been around the block, I know this industry, and I see what's going on. I can interpret it unlike anyone else. Plus, I can tell you about it because I'm not owned by some government grant. Just one quick comment on large corporations, oil corporations primarily today, that are investing in what we call green technology. Now, green technology would be wind power or other forms of what we call renewable energy, energy that does not cost oil or coal or nuclear power, etc. But the obvious reason for getting into these industries and investing in them is to control the legislation that goes around when these industries are trying to grow. There are many states, Minnesota being one of them, many states are trying to get into the alternative green energy business. This would be biofuels, etc. And it's growing. But oil still is the dominant energy supply of our country. Oil from the ground, and these corporations that are getting into this are doing it for self-motivated reasons. They're doing it so they can control legislation to limit the amount of green energy that's available to you, the public. So at any rate, more on that. Just a quick note, there are some imposters running around the internet, and they come out whenever my successes start to grow a little too much for some people's liking. So you may find some imposters running around claiming, and a lot of people say, gee, that sounds just like Jim McCanney. Well, that's what it is, the copycats, and things go on behind the scenes dealing with that, but it's not an issue that I waste time on this show. So if you have seen that, just understand that these are government-supported people pretending to be something they're not. And this, the biggest issue is there are people claiming to be scientists and physicists and other professional status that would require a college degree, typically advanced degree like master's or PhD level degrees. Of course, I have a master's degree in physics. My bachelor's degree is a double major in mathematics and physics, plus a full lifetime of working in these fields as a professional, keeping up with professional organizations. So when somebody comes out and claims to be a physicist or claims to have other professional status that would require a degree, and of course, if you have an internet page, you can claim anything you want. But the point is that when you see this, understand that the majority of those internet wannabes out there, if you don't see them posting their credentials, it's because they don't have any. And they're copying material from other sources, including mine, and they post it as if they invented it. So if they're blatant enough to go around pretending they're a degreed professional with lifetime of experience when they're not, well, then all standards are out the window. They're scammers. That's the only term you can use for them. And they don't have a life. So at any rate, if you have seen that, just be aware of it. If not, then lucky you. Okay, on to the next topic. Okay, I'm going to go into the recent articles from this week. I've already talked about the global warming report that's coming out by thousands of scientists from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And there will be more on this. This is going to be bigger and bigger. This is going to be in the news. You're going to see Al Gore. You're going to see all kinds of movie stars out there pounding this global warming thing. But the final implication is that you are going to be told that there's going to be less and less water, and you're going to have to pay more and more for water, and it's going to be very controlled and more expensive, and that is the end result of this global warming push. Mark my words on that one. Okay, so this past week, and I always get a kick out of this when it happens, there was a flurry, just a snowstorm flurry of articles dealing with astronomy. Sunlight alters asteroid spin. Sun blamed for warming Earth and other worlds. Theory suggests source of icy moon's heat. These are the topics, the titles. Probe spots seize on Saturn's moon Titan. Let me see as I dig through this pile here. Excuse me. Odd rock may have spawned asteroid family. Let's see. I think that's the last one I have in my pile here. So that's just a sampling of this past week. And all of these have kind of like splattered all over. It's from Reuters. It's from AP. It's from, science, internet pages that are mouthpieces for government science. Let's see, we've got another Associated Press, and then these get reposted, of course, on all of the other average places that you find. And these are press releases that typically come out of NASA or some related news source. But the point is here, every one of these articles pounds on the topic of typically asteroids or comets or some related odd twist to them. But the central theme is that all of this happened 4.5 billion years ago. And, of course, the solar system, they're saying, formed 4.5 billion years ago, and that's when all of this stuff happened. But that 4.5 billion, they just keep pounding on that and pounding on it. And one of the articles has a very interesting twist. And I'm going to pull that up because they're talking about comets being as large as the planet Pluto. Now, this is a brand new twist. Okay, here it is. It's the article I said. This is from a Reuters release and then recopied over and over again on many of the other news sources. This one came out of, actually was reprinted in CNN under their space section. Odd rock may have spawned asteroid family. Now, that seems kind of like a non-intrusive topic. But look at what they say. This, I'm going to read the article backwards because I want you to hear what it's really trying to put in your mind. It says, this object is as big as Pluto. Of course, they're claiming that it happened 4.5 billion years ago. It collided with something so hard that it got this thing spinning. And it has the shape of an American football. It's a very odd-shaped object, and it spins once every 4 hours. Very unusual. And it doesn't have any ice on it. They're claiming, and that's unusual. But now get this. One day may light up Earth's sky as a giant comet. Now, remember NASA and the little dirty snowballs? They were only just a couple miles across, and they were dirty snowballs. Now we have something, and this, I'm saying, I read this article backwards because those are the implications they wanted to leave you, but if you read the article forwards, you probably wouldn't make the associations that I'm making on this show. And this is being discovered by an astronomer who works out of Caltech that we've seen before. Make these announcements. Now, they've known about this for a couple of years, and they're just making the public announcement right now. Object is called 2003 EL61. That's the astronomical name. So it was discovered in 2003, but they're only really releasing this information in 2007. Interesting. But once again, is rock-shaped object in the vicinity of Pluto that may one day light up Earth's sky as a giant comet. Now, a couple of years ago, they were denying that anything could be bigger than just a small, dirty snowball. Now, all of a sudden, slip slide, here it comes in the news media. And, of course, this all happened 4.5 billion years ago, out of sight, out of mind, that something the size of Pluto could be a comet that lights up Earth's skies. Do you start to see the picture? And, of course, then when something big comes in, remember Comet McNaught that NASA didn't want to talk about, that they made no announcements about? It slipped into our solar system and wasn't discovered, so to speak, until August of 2006, when it was halfway between Jupiter and Earth on a path in towards the Sun. The biggest comet in 40 years, and NASA never noticed it, up in the night sky, next to Jupiter, about 20 degrees away from Jupiter, in the night sky, the biggest comet in 40 years, and NASA never noticed it. Isn't that interesting, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? So now, they have an astronomer out of Caltech who's known about this since 2003, and they're just slipping this into an article that is entitled Something About Asteroids. Let me read that title again, because this is the title. Odd Rock May Have Spawned Asteroid Family. What a diversionary title. But what they're trying to slip in here is that there is a thing out there next to Pluto in that vicinity, as big as Pluto, that could come in and be a giant comet and light up the skies near Earth. Isn't that interesting? Under the title, Odd Rock May Have Spawned Asteroid Family. You gotta love these people, you know, or hate them, whichever, for their diversionary tactics. And how can these astronomers, of course, as I said, these people are owned. They're bought, paid for, owned. The guy, Mike Brown, that did this, he didn't write the article. A news staff, news release person from NASA wrote the article, and very well crafted to trick you, the public, into getting a piece of information without knowing you're getting it, if you understand what I mean. So at any rate, on to another quick topic here, and this is about high-definition TV. In the year 2009, let me see if I can find the date here. Let's quickly scan. February 19th, 2009 is the date designated by the Department of Commerce National Telecommunications and Information Administration, called NTIA. What a cute name, NTIA. Let's see. As of February 19, 2009, high-definition TV will be the only TV signal broadcast in the United States. So they're trying to set up a billion-dollar fund. I like the way they put it, $990 million, where the government will give people a $40 coupon for a digital-to-analog converter box, which will cost an additional $15 to $20 to $30 each per TV. look at how convoluted this is. So you have to go up in and sign up to tell the government that you have an analog TV, and then they put this box in your house. Gee, I wonder what else is going to be in that box. That'll set in your house and convert to high-definition TV. And then, but it says, and along with getting that coupon, you have to tell them that you don't take cable or have satellite TV to get your $40 coupon. But there's an estimated 20 million people who still depend. These are the poor people that depend on antenna TV for their signal, for their television signal. And as a friend of mine said, that they want everybody plugged in to the Matrix. And this is obviously, well, look at what the name of the agency is, Department of Commerce, National Telecommunications and Information Administration, NTIA. And we've seen that TIA name before come out of this Total Information Awareness. Remember that, TIA? This is NTIA. These guys love their mnemonics, don't they? So anyway, you'll see more about that, but the bottom line is that the bottom 20 to 30 million poor people in the country will be left with no television and be forced to plug into cable or satellite or some other type of system so they can watch TV. Brought to you once again by your friendly federal local government. Okay, on to the main topic of the show. Encryption, how it works, why codes have been broken, and what does it mean to you? Now, this is a topic, encryption is something that there's probably a dozen or fewer people in the world who really, really, truly understand encryption. And a lot of us professionals out here, like myself, I've worked in the telecommunications industry. I'm familiar with mathematics. I'm familiar with computer design and telecommunications. I know a lot about this, but as with anything, encryption is a very, very confined topic, and it's very tightly controlled But the bottom line is that the majority of encryption techniques today use prime numbers. The prime numbers are numbers which only have themselves and one as factors. So in a nutshell, here's what they do. It's like having, they call them keys, and they literally are like a key. They take a giant number that only has two factors, and those two factors are prime numbers, and they give one number to the consumer or the user out there, and then the other number is locked in a secure computer database, and then the product number is also secured. And what happens is then when you come in with your prime number factor, that encrypts the data that you're using, and the other half of the encrypted prime number pair is used on the receiving end to then reassemble the data you send in that's encrypted or jumbled or scrambled, basically is a term that most people would understand. But it's scrambled in a way that's based on this prime number. So at any rate, it's a complicated set of mathematical formulas, and it actually even gets more complicated than that, but that's the essential thing, that it's based on very, very large prime numbers that only large amounts of supercomputing time could determine. And that kind of is the key to making this system work so it can't be cracked. But if you can now take and determine prime numbers relatively simply, and that's part of the byproduct of what I've done in the Calculate Primes book, and I talk about the implications of this. There's a chapter in the book called Encryption, Is It Doomed? And this isn't going to break down overnight, but it's a breach in the wall, let's put it that way. Say you have a big ship, like the Titanic, and it gets a breach in the front of the hull, and some of the design of the Titanic was not meant to have a breach in the wall, in the front hull. That's what we're talking about here. That's a good analogy, and the Titanic, of course, did sink. It took a while, but when it went down, it wasn't pretty, and it was based on very bad engineering and a few cost-saving measures. Because they assumed that the biggest ship in the world couldn't sink. So at any rate, that's the same with encryption. I would call encryption and the Titanic very similar schemes, if you want to call them that. So that's just a brief explanation of how encryption works. Now, as I said, to break the encryption codes is one thing. Another is to have somebody out there who knows what to do with it once the encryption codes are broken. Who uses encryption? Well, the NSA, every federal government agency, every Interpol agency, every secure arms dealer, terrorists use them. They've purchased encryption schemes. It's used in your computer. It's used when you do internet work on the internet. Many times you'll see that little window pop up on your computer. It says you're entering a secure site. The encryption mechanism is working there back and forth. Encryption is used all over. If you go to the grocery store and make a purchase with your credit card, that data is encrypted, stored in a computer, and then transmitted. Once again, it's encrypted by a different encryption mechanism. This is used all over the place. The military satellite system that is used to control our military worldwide uses encryption. Cruise missiles, military aiming devices, radio communications between our military personnel, etc., uses encryption. But what I've known all along, what I have known, and what many people have known, is that this is based on a very weak, let's say, set of basic premises. That is, that someone would not find a simple way to calculate prime numbers. So when I released my book, people will say, well, that's terrible. You're releasing a book that cracks the encryption codes and all of these problems will ensue. Well, What if a terrorist got a hold of that? What if the Chinese had teams of scientists working on it and didn't tell you about it? I'm telling you about it. They wouldn't. Can you imagine the damage that could be done and would be done before anybody found out that someone had cracked the encryption codes? So by making this public, I'm doing all of you one humongous giant favor. Very simply put. Because now it's publicly known that the encryption codes are vulnerable. The Titanic has a breach, and the Titanic could and may very well sink. There are other ways to do encryption, and that will be that's another issue. But those systems can be broken also. The problem is there is just like any other type of computer system, you have all this design work that's done around this flawed encryption system. And so now, how do you go out and change all of that? That's the difficult part. How do you find out where there are points where people could break in? How soon could they break in? How soon could they find out how to crack these encryption codes? How many places are there people who are working feverishly to break these encryption codes? And how many places, how many countries would be interested in doing this? And once again, if they did this without anybody knowing about it, without a public release of information, imagine the damage that could be done before anybody in high security places, in banking systems, in commerce, in internet, in, you know, everything that we do, in the military, in military intelligence. Can you imagine the damage that could be done if this information were not made public? I understand a lot of what goes on in the background, and that's why when I do my work, I know the implications, I know the history, I know a lot about what's going on here, and nobody owns me. There's not a government agency that would come in and try and move this out of public reach. If I worked for a government agency, then they would take this information and there'd probably be a manager above me who would say, this is something we can't let out, and they would hold it in some stupid government office while foreign countries took the information and breached our highest levels of security. That's what would happen if I worked for the government. But I don't. I'm an independent. I've never signed up with those clowns. I don't owe them any allegiance, and I don't work with them. Period. So let's talk about the other places where encryption codes are used. And this is the one I want to concentrate on this show. There are warehouses full of computer chips. These are small microcomputer chips that are radio transmitters. They are small enough to be put in a shot, like a medical shot that you would get in your arm, like the flu shot or anything, and they would go down the little needle and be implanted in your arm or any place where they injected the fluid. It would ride in the fluid and be injected right in the muscle tissue of your body, and that's where it would set. And that would be then your little human computer chip that identified you. You would have an identifying number, a lot of data about you. It could record what you're saying, where you are, a lot of information about you, whether you're alive or dead. A lot of information could be registered. It could register your temperature, if you have a fever, if you're sick. A lot of information about you out there could be transmitted through that little chip. They're very powerful, and they have the capability of running for a very long time. So basically, I'm talking about these chips that would be implanted into humans. And, of course, the idea was that they would have a terrorist event where it was eminently important for everybody to have a shot of some kind. Like they would release a virus, and everybody would have to have a shot to have the antidote. If you want to see a movie about this, look at the movie V for Vendetta. And I've said before in my show, that is required viewing. And also in that movie is the issue of water shortage. So that movie is required viewing for everybody in my audience. V for Vendetta. Rent it, watch it, and watch it two or three times, because there's so much in there you're going to find that is happening today. It's a futuristic movie, but it's happening today. So at any rate, these chips now use encryption. That is to allow the information to be transmitted to the government computers to sort this information out, tell where everybody is, how they're doing, if they're sick, if they've been affected by the government virus, where you are, so they can send out a truck and pick you up at any time. That's the government chip that would go into your arm or into your kid's arm or your wife's arm in the case that the government issues and requires you to have a shot. This is the number. You have a number, and that number is encrypted. Without an encryption code, if the encryption code is broken, that is locked into those chips, then the system breaks down, because anybody can get in there and start transmitting and become somebody else. Everybody around here could be somebody else, and it would scramble their system and destroy it. It would not work. So now, are you starting to see the implications and importance of the book that I just put out called Calculate Primes? A very esoteric little mathematical problem that's 2,500 years old that I cracked, and I can teach a third grader how to calculate prime numbers on the back of an envelope. And in the other implication is, look what it does to the world around you, the world of encryption. It blows the government's plans to put chips in every one of you. They are scrambling right now, I guarantee you, to look at the implications of what this means, because this information is going public. And it's already public. It's already out to groups of people who they don't know who has this information. And when I do things, I was fully aware of what would happen in the efforts to try and block me from releasing this information. It's out on the internet. It's out on the airwaves. And the material I've done is patented, trademarked, copyrighted, and protected. There's a high level of work that went into this prior to the public release of this information. And there's enough information that's been released to enough places to say safely that this information is out there. It's out there, it's in the professional domain, it's in the public domain, and believe me, the cat is out of the bag, the beans are spilled. So you can start to see also why maybe some radio shows and other people did not want to talk about this. Why is a stupid little topic like calculating prime numbers so important? Why would it raise anybody's feathers? Why, just like my comet work, that comets are not dirty snowballs, that they're a plasma discharge of the solar capacitor, why would anybody care about that? Why would they spend vast amounts of resources trying to prevent me from getting this information into the scientific community and literature? Clearly, it seems like whatever I do, even though it's just basic, pure, simple science, whatever I do seems to ruffle some feathers. And that's because some people around this planet, if you call them that, are working very hard to control the populace. They're using techniques that they're depending on encryption. They're depending on false science from the Tier 2 science community, NASA, the scientists like Mike Brown that you see, announcing that all of a sudden planets the size of Pluto could come in and be giant comets. Isn't that interesting? So you got to know that something is going on behind the scenes. And we've seen over and over recently, more and more things are coming out of the woodwork that indicate that something big is about to happen. And I keep harping on the need for everybody out there to have their own fresh water. This is the one essential element that you're not going to be able to go very long without. You're going to need your own source of fresh water. You're going to have your head screwed on straight, and you're going to have to be with other people that have their head screwed on straight and know what's going on. And believe me, you are going to be in the minority, because the vast majority of people out there watch the evening news and don't have a clue, have absolutely no clue of what's really going on, who's moving things, or why things are being done. You know, the global warming issue, another very good, clear issue where people are going, oh, well, gee, we got movie stars, we got Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Gore teaming up to prevent global warming. Geez, we got to join this, we got to donate money, we got to get behind this, we got to watch the latest documentary movies, on and on and on. The bottom line, it's to get the New World Order in control of water. And if you're buying into the global warming thing, then you're going to just take that hook, line, and sinker, the idea that water is, or lack of water, is a result of global warming. And gee, we all caused this, and we all got to pay a lot more for water now. Isn't that interesting? So I hope you see the connection to a lot of what I do. And when I work in the background, I can see all these things coming. And like when I released my book, Calculate Primes, I said in advance, and I think you, if you were listening to this show or looked at my internet postings, etc., before the book release, I said that when you first hear the title of this book, you're going to go, what? I've been waiting for this? This has nothing to do with me. And you'd be kind of, you know, maybe even a little upset that you've been building up to this book that I'm releasing, and it's called Calculate Primes. But when you understand the implications of this book, and I said this very clearly, when you understand the implications of this book and what it really means, your jaw is going to hit the floor. So believe me, I know what I'm doing. I know what's going on in the background. I know what has been going on for decades, and I know what's coming down the road in the future. I'm not a forecaster of the future. I can just see what's going on in the background and tell you. So, believe me, this new book called Calculate Primes is going to rattle the cages around the world, and it already is. It's reverberating around the world, the message, the implications, and what it means to you, the public, what it means to the people in the security agencies that depend on encryption for everything they do, to keep secrets from you, to control you, to put human computer chips in you, and to track you. All of this is now up for grabs. At any rate, I'm going to close out this week's show. Just remember, Saturday morning, March 17th, this coming Saturday morning, WCCO Radio, 830 AM, on your radio dial, the eastern 38 states, or on the internet, wccoradio.com. That's wccoradio.com. And they have a live streaming on there. You can listen on the internet. Once again, I am out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.